Hey everyone, this is Stelly Efti.
And this is Heaton Shaw.
And in today's episode of the Startup Chat, we're going to talk about ways that you and your team can get closer to your customer and have a more intimate relationship with them.
I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life, and hopefully while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit. We got it.
For people trying to get shit done.
Yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
Yet. We want you to do your best.
And the main goal why you want to do that is that you want to keep generating insights about your customer that will help you to, you know, create the right products and services, to continuously innovate, to continuously market and sell to them in a better way. I know that we've talked a lot about this idea in the past that whoever is closest to the customer ultimately wins. Whoever understands that customer best in a competitive market will ultimately own that customer. You know, the reason why I wanted to talk to you about this is that I just came back last week from New York, and we did the very first, can you believe it, the very first customer meetup for Close.io. And just that event and some of the things that I learned there and experienced that kind of refreshed and made this topic again fresh in my mind on how valuable it is to invest in the relationship with your customers and make sure that you spend quality time with them. So I wanted to chit-chat with you about this topic.
I really love it. I mean, it's like one of my favorite topics. And just to, you know, go off for a second, like, I've been doing this for a long time, you know, by any means. It's been over a dozen years. So, and what I mean by doing it is building software, you know, being on the internet, whether it's through a consulting service, a bunch of SaaS businesses, or even just helping a ton of other people basically build great products, build great businesses, growing businesses. And I got to say, like, we used to be able to get away with not having to talk to the customer that much and not being able to be, not having to be so close to them. And the reason for that is, like, there weren't just as many options for customers in terms of the products that they could use or the businesses that could service them. And these days, like, it's the exact opposite. There's so much out there. Customers are inundated with sales emails, inundated with marketing, inundated with, like, you know, even sites like Product Hunt, where they can go every day and find an alternative to your product, literally every day. This topic's super critical. And, like, I talk about it a lot, whether it's through my newsletter on product habits or every single meeting I have, it always comes back to the customer. So it's really exciting to hear that you folks did a customer visit or had a customer visit, whatever way it worked out, and that you got a lot out of it. So I'm super excited to talk about this. It's one of the things I'm pretty much, like, some people have heard me preach so much. And related to this, just to give another viewpoint, is, like, feedback. So you don't get enough feedback. This is the number one reason I would go for it, is you don't get enough feedback. You don't really understand your customer at all unless you're actually able to sit there and be so close to them that you're able to get the feedback on your product. Like, you know, I'm launching stuff now probably every month, every 2 months, something new, whether it's a new feature in our businesses or even a whole new business or product. And this is pretty much going to be the cadence this year. And it's amazing what that feedback does. It also hurts sometimes. So yeah, let's go. What's on your mind? That's what's on my mind about this.
All right. I love it. So let's do this. Let's talk first on why it is important and then all the ways that you can do it and you should do it, right? And the benefits that you can gain from it. So to me, you hit on a crucial point, which is, like, you're not getting enough feedback. But to me, what I would add to that is that you want to get the highest nutritional value feedback possible, the highest density of information type of feedback possible, right? So I can put up a landing page and pay a few bucks on Google AdWords to get some traffic to that landing page. And then I can just look at a metrics board and see, oh, I got 100 clicks to that landing page, and then I got 3 clicks on that button, and then I get 1 submission. That's information, right? That is, to a certain degree, feedback. They liked it, they didn't. It's a high conversion, it's a low conversion, whatever. But I would say that it is very limited in what kind of feedback or data you have. You add a layer on top of it, that is good and it scales really well, but it doesn't give me a lot of information who these people were, did they like it or not, were they confused, why did they click? There's a lot of information missing. If you know, a level higher, I had a chance to, let's say, email 100 people and get, you know, three or four of them to reply to me and say, yes, this is interesting, or no, this is confusing, or please stop bothering me, this is annoying, and I had a chance to go back and forth and email a little bit, I would have more information. To me, this is kind of more, this is a better quality feedback. It doesn't scale as nicely, but it is richer in information. A level higher, what if I could call these people and have conversations over the phone and maybe have follow-up questions, or maybe even not just hear the content of their words, but hear their tonality, which gives me also that, which enriches the message, right? If I tell you, yeah, that sounds super interesting, or if I say, yeah, that sounds super interesting, this is difference, right? There's a difference between what type of information I'm transmitting to you based on my tonality. And then the richest form of feedback and information is if I can actually see you, if I'm like in your office, you know, watching you, you know, click around on my product, watching the confused facial expressions that you have, potentially have you explain back to me what you're seeing or what works or doesn't, or even explain to a colleague. But also I can kind of observe the office dynamics. I can observe what other software tools you have on your desktop. I can get so much rich information if I'm at your office versus if I talk to you in a coffee shop versus on the phone versus an email versus if I just observe your mouse on some kind of a landing page clicking or not clicking something. And I feel like, you know, we want all the feedback, so we want to do all the things, obviously. But I think that as the business, as your business scales, and as you have more and more customers, more things to do, there is a tendency to feel that these less scalable, high density forms of feedback collection and interactions with your customer, that they're just too burdensome. And it just takes too much time to go and visit a customer. It just takes too much time to organize a customer meetup in some city with 30, 40, or 50 customers. And that stuff, you know, it's good, but you just, you know, it seems like most companies never quite make the time for these things. And I think that, you know, I've done the customer visit a lot. So we've been visiting customers for a long time at their offices. New York was the first time where we hosted a meetup and invited all the customers in a given city to come and mingle with each other and talk to us. And kind of give them a little bit of a talk and outline. Here's where the product goes this year. Here's the kind of doing an open Q&A with all types of different customers all together. So it was a different type of learnings and insights that we gathered that way. But every time before I do this, I feel like I don't have the time for it. And I feel like, oh my God, I'm going to have to leave my office or my work environment. And this is going to take so much time. It's going to kill my entire day. It always feels like something I just don't feel like I have the time for. And every time afterwards, I'm like, I'm thanking, you know, the universe. And I'm so grateful that I did it, because the insights, the relationships, the aha moments, the feedback that I gathered is just so incredibly valuable and rich that I'm like, oh, every time I do this, I think I need to do this more.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost addicting. And it's also, it's one of those addictions where like, it's easy to stop too. The reason is, like, at some point it's like you just keep doing it, you're addicted to it, and then you just fall off because, you know, business comes in the way or something. So I'm going to just start by saying one thing, which is like super important, which is we often just think about our customer as the people who are buying from us. There are a lot of customers out there that haven't bought from you yet. So, you know, if you're feeling like I don't want to bug my customers, or you know, you're falling off the wagon, just start scheduling calls with people who could be your customer, even if it's not a sales call. And even people who are your customer, like, vary it up. Because what I found is, like, people start this process and they get addicted to it, because obviously it's a great process and it has so much value. But then what ends up happening is they just stop. And it's one of the biggest pitfalls. And usually where I see this happening the most is they basically stop after, like, that initial period of building their product. Because they usually do a lot of customer development early on. And then they just get, for some reason, you know, the business gets in the way, or all these operational things get in the way. They're focused so much on their customer, because in the beginning, you're actually talking to people who aren't your customer and you're addicted to it. You need that feedback. You want that feedback, but you don't really build it into your schedule. And so, you know, I know this sounds really like a hack or a tip, but really, like, I have started to build that customer development, that customer outreach into my schedule. One even easy way you can do this that I found repeatedly super duper valuable is you essentially, if you have some amount of Twitter audience, right, you literally start asking them questions on Twitter with Twitter polls or you ask them to email you. And if you know my Twitter, you've seen me do that for different topics because I'm testing things and I want to see what the response is. But that's an easy way to also get this feedback and stay really close to the customer. And a lot of times, like many of us have thousands of Twitter followers. I mean, I have a ton. So I know I'm probably an outlier. People are probably thinking, oh, you have a load of followers, like 200,000 or something. This is easy for you. Well, actually, even if you just have thousands on your company account, you can start doing these polls. You can start actually talking to them that way and actually pulling them in. Because the thing is, Twitter is very conversational. And I don't think people realize that. So all I'm saying is it can get tiresome. It can get boring, or it can just get to the point where the business gets in the way of you doing this. Find your way to do it. Schedule it in. It's so critical. It actually energizes you because your customer is who you're doing this for.
Yeah, I think that if you can fall in love with the problem and even more so with the customer more than with your particular solution, I think that's always been a recipe for success, right? If you truly care about your customer and if you realize that the customer is, why you're in business, that the customer is giving you purpose or is taking it away from you, and you have to earn their business. And the way to earn it, the best way to earn it is to invest in those customers, to understand them, to care about them in a way that puts them first and you second. And I think that a lot of times what happens is, I think today, because of a lot of the startup education that has happened in the past decade, I think more startups in the early days kind of get through the exercise of doing customer development and interviews and all that. But once you have a little bit of traction, I feel like we all just like to fall back on our own ideas, on our own hypotheses, on our own biases and go, I know what the customer wants. I know the next 30 things we need to build. I know what to ignore in the market and what not to ignore. I know how to market to these people. And we just turn all our focus inwards on like the team and what the team wants to do and what the team's roadmap is and what the advisors of the team say and what your investors say. And we stop paying attention to the only type of people that truly matter, which is our customers. And it just becomes a matter of time where you drift off. You and your customers are drifting off in different directions, and all of a sudden things become harder and harder to do. All of a sudden there's problems. All of a sudden your marketing is not as successful as it used to be. The new features you're launching, people don't care about as much. Your growth slows down. And I find that a lot of times then people, again, what do? We panic and we come up with all these short-term solutions on how to fix this. And we don't understand that the problem is we just don't get our customer anymore. And one thing that I want to ask you is, all right, so on an individual level, I do understand this and I'm a big kind of proponent of it. And I'm partially addicted in a healthy way, I think, to customer feedback and customer interaction. But what I've noticed is that, as our company grows, so as we used to be a tiny team and we're still a super small team for our market, the smallest team in our industry. But
by the way, I love that.
The smallest team in the industry.
Yeah. At our company, at Crazy Egg, we are the smallest team in the industry too. So boom. Maybe this is why we like talking to each other.
Maybe that's why we're on the same wavelength.
There we go.
But we have grown, from the original six people, I think we're so close to the customer, and also it was kind of a mix of salespeople and engineers, and the engineers were so intermingling with the salespeople that our engineers had this amazing sales IQ after a while and are fairly dangerous salespeople themselves by now. But, we went from six people to then 10 to then 20 to 25. And now one of the number one concerns I have, one of my top priorities is how do we make these people that have joined over the last 12 months that have not had as many, as rich, and as intimate experiences with our core customer, how do we make sure that we don't drift away from our customer base? So thinking about this beyond just, the founders to now a team that is growing, what are the type of things that you've seen companies do successfully and that you would recommend to make sure that, especially new people are really exposed very richly and very closely to the customer, so they're IQ and EQ is very high when it comes to the customer.
Yeah, I actually go department by department and make sure that it's integrated into all the processes. So one of the easiest departments and the hardest to do this in is product development. It's easy because if you don't get any feedback from the customer, you aren't using even something as simple as running user testing videos through your product, like literally every week. Like in my companies, we have like regular, weekly, if not monthly, depending on where things are at, where customers are just running through our onboarding. They're not customers. Users, we're using user testing to do like 10 videos a month or 10 videos a week, even when nothing else is going on. The reason is like that just gives us a good sense of these. We literally get videos of the customers or potential customers going through our experience and like yelling at us. You know, we actually encourage them to say, don't worry. Don't worry. We want to know everything you don't like. Right? Please tell us if you like something a lot, but really we want to know everything you don't like. That's how we're going to make this better. And we actually preempt them to bring the hate on, as I call it. And that's been, yeah, bring the hate on, please. And I think like that's one of the mottos. So one thing I have to say is like that's totally super valuable. And I find that to be one of the most valuable things I can do is encourage the team to, you know, get a thick skin. You know, like for example, I'm working with my new business partner, Marie, on software. We launched, the fundraising tool, at least into early access, and we're getting some feedback. And not all of it is great, you know, like in the sense of like it hurts sometimes. It's like, oh, crap, we made this awesome thing. And I just say awesome because like obviously you think it's awesome to some extent. Otherwise, you wouldn't make it, right? You wouldn't put it out there. Not that we think it's awesome, but that's a different story. And like we're getting feedback and some of it's like, you know, I won't use this, right? And the feedback loop in her old businesses that she used to be in weren't like software, right? So like, sometimes she gets really anxious. I do too. Don't get me wrong. But like, we both get anxious and then we have to remember that it's like, this is what we want, right? So only reason I'm saying that is, hey, you just have to get used to that thick, you have to get that thick skin, get used to sort of that hate, you know, coming at you. Cause sometimes it gets solicited, like you ask for it, but most of the time you're not asking for it and it comes to you. And other times, which is the most common case, you don't get that critical feedback. So the first thing I would say is go get really good at seeking the hate, the critical feedback. It's like, what do you hate? What do you not like? And the reason is when they tell you they like something, ignore it. It doesn't really matter. Like, unless it's like, how many times you need to hear that, oh, your onboarding experience is great, or I love the design of your website. Is that useful to you? No. I don't mean to say to tell people not to tell you that. They're going to tell you that no matter what. But go for the things they're not telling you and really attack them. So that's one big area that I would say, like, every time we launch new stuff, always get that, you know, and get that feeling and want the team to feel really, you almost need to feel good when you get that critical feedback. You need to be like, oh, great, we know now, you know, oh, great. Like, someone told us something that, you know, where we screwed up, or someone told us something they don't like. So that's a big one for me. So anyways, that's product development ends up having a lot to do with that kind of effect, but it's really easy because you can do things like user testing and ask for the hate. Sales is easy too, in my opinion, as long as you have really good feedback loops. So one thing I've seen in sales, which you probably have something to say about, is in sales, people will oftentimes not, like the salespeople and that will just move from call to call instead of stepping back once a week or whatever and thinking through how can we make these calls better. Right. And things like that. So I think you have a feedback. You're getting the feedback. Like people are telling you no, dude. Right. But you're not necessarily doing the postmortems and understanding why they said no, what you can do about it, how to improve. The best sales teams do. Don't get me wrong. But I just see I just walk in. I'm very experienced in sales from a strategy, tactical sort of standpoint, but not necessarily a salesperson myself. I've never done sales like 100% of the time, unless you count founder sales. And like so many teams don't do this. They don't get the critical feedback back at all. And then last but not least, I'm just going to end with marketing because we've done product sales and marketing, which are, I think, core functions that need feedback. There are others too, but those are core. Marketing is probably the hardest just because like marketing is a lot of like metrics and ads and social media and emails and things like that, where it's a lot of data, but it's actually, I don't find enough marketers actually getting really qualitative and talking to the customer. And I know that sounds really screwed up, but like they can get away with their job without doing a lot of that because they already have a lot of data that tells you what people are doing.
Yeah, that's super interesting. I think that you touched on a few things that I think I'll wrap my tip around for the end of the episode, right? So obviously, in terms of just basic things you could do, obviously you can do surveys, you can do user testing, things like videos. I didn't even think about that. You can do polls. You can make calls. You can visit people individually, or create meetups, or even a level higher, do customer conferences, so industry conferences, right? Which is something that I see more and more, even smaller SaaS companies start doing at an earlier stage. So there's